Amen. Brother Jaggard said that the tuition is kind of pricey. Actually, it's not pricey. You talk about education. $2,600 to take a student through a years of education. We're in Dover School District. They pay over $15,000 per student per year for an education. And one of the things we like to do with our students is to teach them to live on purpose. I was talking to my wife at lunch today. It seems like so many people are just aimless. They just kind of let the wind blow them here and the wind blow them there, and whatever the world's going on, they're just going here and there, and they're not sure what's going on. We don't have to live that way. So, well, living on purpose sounds like work. Listen, dealing with all the stuff that the world brings at you when the wind blows is a lot of work. You can save a lot of problems if we live on purpose and do it right. Our church, you know, we're talking about Christ being such a large part of their education. The fact is, our students cannot pass on to the next level until they get 80%. They have to learn. You don't move on until you get at least 80%. You've got to have a B average to graduate. You say, well, how's that work? Well, the fact is the way the education system is designed, the learning program is designed, it's individualized, so if the rest of the class has to go on, you need to work. The fact is, you're moving on, you don't know where the rest of the class is. Doesn't matter. You're working on this until you know what you need to do before you move on, so you're not stuck and lost and feeling like, well, I'm just a dummy. And also, on the other hand, you can move as fast as you want if you want to really dig in and go. We're just so grateful for the opportunity that God has given us. You know, we could have a whole world, but without Jesus, we really have nothing. And so along with the education, a good academic education, we really feel like we're able to give our students, and then, of course, everybody has their free will. They can decide whether to take it or not, but to give them a life with purpose, a life with purpose. Would you take your Bibles, if you have a Bible tonight? If you don't, there's one in front of you in the pew that you can use this evening. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1, if you will. I'm not going to be long. I really don't think I will because I don't have a whole lot here. Because I knew we would be late getting started and so forth. But I do want to share my heart here this evening with the fact that we have our first graduate from the high school. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. I know the Bible's in the pews of Prince awful little. I'd have to use my glasses, but do the best you can there. Verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend," or make it a point to, "no understanding. For I give you good doctrine," good instruction. "Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son." I was young once. He was saying, I was young once, tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thou steps shall not be straitened, And that, when that means to, that means like a straitjacket, put in a pinched place, in a narrow spot. So when you walk, you won't feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk on this topic for just a little bit. Just a little bit. Get wisdom, but don't forget understanding. Get wisdom, but don't forget understanding. Let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you for these dear folks, and I thank you for the celebration we have here this evening. I thank you for what you've already done in these young folks' lives. And Lord, especially for Miss Mary as she heads out here and heads into the next stage, the next chapter of life, the next stage of instruction, not only in the academics, not only in the books, but actually in instruction of being out there and dealing somewhat with herself. And know she has a safety net back home, and even at that college, I know that there's folks who will guide her and keep her, watch over her. But Lord, I thank you mostly that you are the one who guide and keep and watch over us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray that you bless each one. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that what I say here this evening will make sense. Pray that it will be from your word, that I'll say what you have me to say. And may people see the understanding, the heart of why we do what we do. And may you put your hand of blessing on these dear folks. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This is our first graduating senior, and it has taken 3 years to get here, 2 years for her, but 3 years for us. In fact, the first year we came here, so let's give it a shot and see what happens. And so we, like I said, we didn't really have a budget to do it. We just had folks who were willing, well-educated to do it, but just folks who were willing to do it and teach and guide. Second year, we were able to bring on some staff and go the next step. And although we may have not had the privilege to instruct our graduating senior for her entire school career, I would like to think we've had some impact on her. I think her testimony has said so. We live in a high-tech world. The information highway is picking up speed by the minute. We all need to understand the academics, the tech, all these things. We need to excel in these disciplines if we expect to do well in our current society. That's just part of society. Not only do we need to do well in our current studies, but our students need to learn how to learn. A lot of times folks aren't worried about what you graduated from college from or high school, but the fact is that you can do it. You had the fortitude. You had the determination. You had the character. You know how to learn. Each student needs to develop self-discipline, self-motivation, self-determination. I'm not saying believe in you and don't worry about God, but I'm saying be able to be self-sustaining under the guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ, underneath His Word. We need to be able to live life. You know, I have four kids. Our last one just graduated from college. You know, putting them out there in the world is scary. But the fact is, they need to grow up. And we need to prepare them to face what the world has before them. Now, we're talking about self-discipline, self-motivation, self-determination. Now, if these criteria were the ingredients needed for a truly successful life, then with a little repair, secular institutions of learning could probably fulfill the need. However, our great universe was created by a creator, not an educator. Created by a creator with a greater and nobler purpose in mind. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Secular education conforms people into the image of the secular world. That has never been God's plan. God's plan is the opposite. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order to be able to live on purpose. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to say, I'm where God wants me to be? Well, I can't believe that. You say, well, I've never grew up around this. I don't see how you can do this. God's not a respecter of persons. If we seek him with our whole heart, we shall find him. He's a personal God. He wants to be involved in every one of our lives. God wants us to prosper and have good success. Now, that doesn't just mean money. And I've said this before to our folks. It's just on Memorial Day, all our family's still in the area. It's a wonderful thing to get the grill out. I think we had chicken, and put some chicken on the grill or whatever it is, burgers and dogs or whatever, and be able to sit around the table and laugh and have a good time with your family. Not bickering, not badgering, not strife, not contention. I tell you what, that's worth a whole lot more than a new car. We can put a lot of distractions to try to help us think about, stop thinking about all the issues that's in our lives. But God wants us to have good success, to have lived our life, to put our head on the pillow the last time and say, God's been good to me. Not because I'm rich in things, but durable riches. I've quoted it so many times. This is my life verse. This is how I run my life. And of course, I'm a long-winded preacher, so my life verse has three verses in it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm not looking down. I'm saying, I'm as weak to do a lot of crazy things as anybody else. Verse 2 says, but his delight, what he loves to get into, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a promise that is! Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, God wants us to prosper and have good success. And if that is going to happen, we must fill our mind from a good source. Good fountains flowing with truth, not broken cisterns full of dirty water. Number one this evening, this is not a big long message. Number one, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Don't live life aimlessly. Listen, we have been told, we have been told by the secular society, well, there's these folks who are smart, and then it's the rest of us dummies. Just get along from day to day and day to day and just kind of hope you kind of make it. You don't have to live that way. There's not one of us in this room that has to live that way. I'm not saying everybody's got to be a preacher. God doesn't call us all those things. But I tell you what, we can have a joy in our life as we walk with him. But he says, here's what I need to do. He says, you need to get wisdom. Now, to get wisdom, we must go to the source of wisdom. That source is God. Without proper respect for God, you will not have proper respect for his wisdom. And without proper respect for God's wisdom, there's no urgency to get his wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We haven't begun to get true wisdom until we realize who God is. Proverbs 1:7, a little earlier in our passage, early in the book there, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm sorry, you may think I'm silly, and you, and there may be some folks in here say, you don't really believe this. Yes, I do. I believe God created the world. I didn't ooze up out of the mud. My ancestors did not hang from their tails. There are probably some who hung from their neck, but not from their tails. You can, listen, I can take my my watch broke the other day, and that's a bad thing when the preacher doesn't have a watch. And I broke my watch, and I took it to the jeweler to get it fixed. Now, the fact is, I can stir that thing and stir that thing and stir that thing and stir that thing, and it's not going to fix itself. That watch didn't occur by itself. How many billions and billions and billions and billions of years is not going to create that watch? It's not going to create life. We have a creator. We are so foolish. We haven't begun to learn until we realize who God is. In our passage, in verse 4, in verse 5, it says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. That word, neither decline, means this. Don't stop learning. I had a guy said, I said, would you ever read? Well, I've read the Bible all the way through once. This is not a novel. It's not even War and Peace or one of those great big things. This is the mind of God. You cannot, listen, if you think you can have one little breeze through this Bible and think you've understood the mind of God, you laid too long on one side and your brain doesn't roll out your ear. This is God's Word. It's deeper than that. In fact, if you study God's Word, you will find that every time you go back to it, there's something new and refreshing and brand new that He wants to give us some kind of truth. Neither decline from the words of mouth. Do not stop learning. This is commencement, not termination. All this morning, God's got a plan for you. Now, He's not giving you the whole plan. It'll scare you. You just have to take the first step and let Him guide you the next step. Now, mom and dad, that's hard to do. Let go. It's hard. God's a good God. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves her more than you do. That's hard. Grandparents, I know it's hard. But God loves her with an everlasting love. How much wisdom? How much is wisdom worth to you? Just get wisdom. How much is it worth to you? Well, Proverbs 17:16 says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than be chosen, and understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Get wisdom. I want to take a few moments here, and I want to give you some quotes from the ones who were trying to establish our educational system. Now, just hang tight with me, but I want you to listen to this. Elias Boudinot was president of the Congress. He signed the peace treaty to the end of the American Revolution. He was the first attorney admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar and a framer of the Bill of Rights and a director of the U.S. Mint. This is what the man said. For nearly half a century have I anxiously and critically studied that invaluable treasure, the Bible. And I still scarcely ever take it up that I do not find something new, that I do not receive some valuable addition to my stock of knowledge or perceive some instructive fact never observed before. In short, were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to the wise and the ignorant. Were you to ask me for one of affording the most rational and pleasing entertainment to the inquiring mind, I should repeat, it is the Bible. And should you renew the inquiry for the best philosophy or the most interesting history, I should still urge you to look into your Bible. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge. Patrick Henry said, "The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed." John Jay, President of the Congress, a diplomat, author of the Federalist Papers, original Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court and Governor of New York, he says, "Listen, by conveying the Bible to people, we certainly do them a most interesting act of kindness. We thereby enable them to learn that man was originally created and placed in a state of happiness, but becoming disobedient was subjected to the degradation and the evils which he and his posterity have since experienced. The Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed, that this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the whole world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy, has opened a way for our redemption and salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. The Bible will also encourage them with many explicit and consoling assurances of the divine mercy to our fallen race, and with repeated invitations to accept the offers of pardon and reconciliation. They, therefore, who enlist in his service, have the highest encouragement to fulfill the duties assigned to their respective states." He's talking about political service, not talking about religious service. "To fulfill duties assigned to their respective stations, for most certain it is that those of his followers who participate in his conquest will also participate in the transcendent glories of blessings of his triumph." He goes on to say, "The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts." This is what our nation was founded on. Jedediah Morris, historian of American Revolution, educator, father of American geography, appointed the Secretary of State. He says this, "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness with which mankind now enjoys. All efforts made to destroy the foundations of our holy religion ultimately tend to the subversion also of our political freedom and happiness. In proportion as the genuine efforts of Christianity are diminished in any nation, in the same proportion will the people of that nation recede from the blessings of genuine freedom. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present Republican forms of government and all the blessings which flow from them must fall with them." At a point where, you know what? I remember I grew up in a day when didn't even need to lock the house. Didn't need to lock the car. Little town I grew up down in Maryland, a lot of them didn't have locks on their house. They weren't even there. And we've decided to be free from God, and then we think that we have freedom. Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, Surgeon General of the Continental Army, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, father of American medicine, treasurer of the U.S. Mint, father of public schools under the Constitution, said this, "The only means of establishing and perpetuating our Republican forms of government is the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible." That's what we needed. That's where we started from. It's still true. We're not doing something new. We're doing what God had called, what our country wanted to do from the very beginning. It goes on and says, "The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and in proportion as mankind adopt its principles and obey its precepts, they will be wise and happy. The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world. And the Bible, when not read in schools, is seldom read in any subsequent period of life. The Bible should be read in our schools in preference to all other books because it contains the greatest portion of that kind of knowledge which is calculated to produce private and public happiness. Such a mode of instructing children in the Christian religion, in other words, having children read the Bible for themselves, would convey knowledge into their understanding and would therefore be preferable to teaching them creeds and catechisms, which too often convey not knowledge, but words only into their memories. And I think not too sanguine in believing that the education conducted in this matter would in the course of two generations. The wise man said, if we get our kids reading the Bible, he says, I think in the course of two generations, it would eradicate infidelity from among us and render civil government scarcely necessary in our country. Because people would do what they're supposed to do automatically. In contemplating, he goes on, the political institution of the United States, I lament that we waste so much time and money in punishing crimes and take so little pains to prevent them. We profess to be Republicans, and yet we neglect the only means of establishing and perpetuating a Republican forms of government. That is, the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity. By means of the Bible, for this divine book, above all others, favors that equity among mankind, that respect for just laws, and all those sober and frugal virtues which constitute the soul of Republicanism. Now, that when we say Republican, that's not talking about as opposed to Democrat. We live in a republic, to the republic for which it stands. That's what it's talking about there, the design of our government. If we could do something in their lives before they get out there, we could probably forget about having to pick them up on the street and throw them in jail. There's a local county here. They don't know what to do with everybody, trying to find some place to put all their prisoners. They called up York over here trying to figure if they've got any room over there for them. And I heard the man in charge of the prison on the news say, we're going to do something else. Just housing more and more isn't going to fix the problem. And it's not. Noah Webster, a revolutionary soldier, a judge, a legislator, an educator, called schoolmaster to America. He said the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity. To this we owe our free constitutions of government. The moral principles and precepts found in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the evils which men suffer from vice and crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. The Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good and the best corrector of all that is evil in human society, the best book for regulating the temporal concerns of men. The Christian religion is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. I am persuaded that no civil government of a Republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of Christianity have not a controlling influence. In 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in schools. William Holmes McGuffey, the author of the McGuffey Reader that was used for over 125 years up until 1963, of course, when they wanted to take Bible out of the schools. President Lincoln called him the schoolmaster of the nation. Listen to what McGuffey said. The Christian religion is the religion of our country. From it are derived our nation on the character of God, on the great moral governor of the universe. On its doctrines are founded the peculiarities of our free institutions. From no source has the author drawn more conspicuously than from the sacred scriptures. For all these extracts from the Bible, I make no apology. Said he wrote that reader, and they used them until 63. I don't apologize for using the Bible. In 1787, Congress passed the Northwest Ordinance, which outlines requirements for governments of new territories so that they can qualify for statehood. Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance directs the people of the territories to establish schools, quote, to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. Nearly every state admitted to the Union after this has written in their state constitution wording that the schools are to teach morality and religion, and they are to use the Bible as the basis for their teachings. Now, years ago, I took a class in a secular college. And I took a class called Contemporary Religious Movement. It was taught by an ordained Methodist minister. I was going to an independent Baptist church down in Westminster, Maryland at the time, and the college was right in town there. And he named that church by name and called it a cult. Now, I'll be honest with you, that church is, essentially no different than our church right here. His definition of a cult was a brand new interpretation, a brand new philosophy that has not been around long enough to be considered a bona fide religion. Having grown up Methodist, I knew better than that. So I got John Wesley's Book of Discipline. Though John Wesley had a few modes of baptism, a few things like that where we weren't quite eye to eye on. The foundation of the Word of God, believing in His truth, believing that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We had to write a paper, and I wrote my paper. I went around to little churches, Bible churches, independent Baptist churches, and I listened to the messages, and I took notes, I took tracks out of the rack, and I put the paper together and documented it. The fact is, what that independent Baptist church that I was taught, that I was going to, that he named by name as a cult, was doing the same thing John Wesley was doing in the 1700s. The same thing that our founding fathers wanted to found this nation on. And today we call it heresy because it dares to believe the Bible. This is nothing new. This is what schools were supposed to be from the very beginning of our country. I'm not fighting, I'm not manning, but I'm just saying, listen, we're trying to do it the right way. We're going to raise the right kind of people. Want to make a difference in the lives of the people in our area. Listen, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if you got into Walmart, you wouldn't say, oh my soul, did I lock the car? I wonder if it's going to be there by the time I get back. I left my GPS laying on the dashboard. I wonder if it's going to be there. I didn't lock my car. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to say, you know what, my child, and believe it in your heart for true, doesn't lie to me. I mean, I'm not saying they might not, a little bit here and there. You know how we're all like that. But, you know, when it came to big things, they're not going to pull anything. Listen, that child has enough sense to come in before it gets dark. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that we could have what we used to have, where a child could go outside and play in the yard and don't think some kind of crazy man's going to pick him up? Where did it change? It changed right there. When we decide we don't need God, we don't need the Bible, we don't need to pray, let's throw it out, and we can raise our children our own way and still have morals. Compared to whom? Whose morals? Whose philosophy? Get wisdom. Get it from the source of the Word of God. Almost done. We can have the knowledge of the world in our mental grasp and still not have the understanding of life. Let me say that again. We can have all the knowledge of the secular world within our grasp and still not understand life. Proverbs 4:7. We were there. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Understand life. I read a little bit earlier. I'm closing up here. Proverbs 9:9 says this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Watch this. If our children are not first made wise and just, they will most likely and pridefully refuse most other learning. Let me say that again. If our children are not first made wise in the things of God, justified before God, no Christ is their Savior, the fact is they will most likely and pridefully refuse most other learning. You don't tell me what to do. I'm just fine like I do. I don't need this. Go ahead. Try to impress me. Yeah. Come on. Let's go through the process. You finished yet? A fool despises wisdom and instruction. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. You want to know how this world works? Talk to the one who put it together. Learn to know the one who put this all together. He knows how it works. He says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Those who have not humbled themselves before God will find it difficult to humble themselves before men long enough to be taught. Proverbs 4:3 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. That means to put a hedge protection around her. Now, closing out here. Some may say, is all this really necessary? Yes, if we truly want to produce God-fearing individuals and thus a God-fearing society. Now, some may say, I know some young folks who are doing just fine, have not attended a Christian school. They don't spend any time in the Bible, they don't go to church. Well, good. Just think what they could be for God if they did. If they hadn't had an education that was trying to destroy their Christian faith, what could have happened? I remember Christians in that class, that contemporary religious movement class I had in college, and that professor just stripped them. They didn't know what to believe. And by the way, I got an A+ on that thing, and I proved my point. But he didn't tell those students. They left that class thinking that there was a cult. We are not looking to produce religious people or a creed for people to follow. Creeds are of men. What we need to do is produce saved, God-fearing people. So many people in our society do not understand. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. If our society doesn't have knowledge of the holy, we cannot truly have understanding. Many do not understand that they do not understand. And that's why we're where we are in our society. I don't want to get political. But did you ever imagine a presidential race like we have right now? I'm not happy on either side, to be honest with you. I don't know. Have you watched the news recently? My son was kind of living in a isolated society, so to speak, out of college. You're so busy doing everything, you know, time to watch TV and all that kind of stuff. He comes home and, you know, I feel like I need to know what's going on in the world because people ask me, well, what about this, Pastor? What about this? I feel like I need to do it. And the other day, he was sitting there. He's at the house now, and he says, I think they went all across the country to find the worst things they can think about and put them all in one show. Here's the problem. It's just a representative of what's going on in our society. Why? Because we don't understand. And we don't understand because we have no knowledge of the holy. Now, we cannot affect everyone, but we can affect all those that allow us to. This is why we're doing what we do. Lighthouse Christian School is not a business or a moneymaker. Know that. You ask the teachers what they get paid. Trying our best to try to make this thing stand on its own. This is about helping to fulfill part of the three parts of the Great Commission. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get understanding. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you've ever asked yourself, I just don't get it. I don't understand. It's all a blur. Knowledge of the holy will help you understand that. Let's bow with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for these dear folks who have been very patient. And Lord, it's been a long night already. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. I thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to make a little bit of a difference in the lives of some young people. We're so very grateful that our parents will allow us to, that these parents will allow us to have an impact on their children. And I thank you that for the children who are willing to let us lead them, guide them through the Word of God, through the academics, through all those things, so that they are prepared to meet the world that faces them. And we're grateful for these that have came to a milestone this week and now face the next chapter in their lives. Lord, may we be a blessing to them as well. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I would never do